Let's turn to Joshua, the 7th chapter. I want to speak to you tonight on the topic of the accursed thing. And I want to start reading in the first verse, and then we'll skip on down. Let's read. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. That's the title of our message. For Achan, the son of Carmi, and the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And you may remember this is the account where Achan had stolen a Babylonian garment or cloak. And today we would be like, what's the big deal? For a lot of reasons, because we're so inundated with clothing everywhere. But a cloak or a mantle, as it was often called, was something that was very, very valuable in this culture. If you had a cloak and you possessed a cloak like this, it would be something that would warm you in the wintertime. It would be something you could sleep on when you were traveling outdoors. It was not just like Brother Tim's suit coat or really like any kind of jacket or coat that you or I would have. It's a very special type of garment that was almost like a survival coat that could be used in so many different circumstances. And this was something that Achan had lifted. He had literally stolen it, because God had forbidden the taking of any of these type of items from the people that they were taking over there as they were coming into the promised land. So Achan had taken this when God had strictly forbidden it, and he hid it. And he hid it inside his house. So if you turn on over to verse 19, when they discovered that it was Achan in his house where this Babylonian garment or cloak was hidden, they brought Achan and his family before the congregation, before the nation, if you will. And Joshua said to Achan, verse 19, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him." You know, his plan has been discovered. "And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the tent, brought them unto Joshua, and laid them before Joshua. So Achan not only had taken this garment, kind of focusing on the garment in the message, but he took gold and silver too. But the garment, the gold, and the silver. And so they bring it out before them here, and basically his entire family is stoned and burned with fire. And that seems very severe to us. It seems very severe in just from an emotional standpoint. And you say, well, what's the big deal? It was just a little money, a little gold, a little silver, and a garment. It was a big deal because God said you were not supposed to take these things. These things would bring destruction upon a house. Now, Achan experienced instant destruction, okay? But these things brought into the home, focused on, made a focus by the home, the fathers, the mothers, or whatever, would lead to generational destruction, especially the Babylonish garment, because it was a symbol of the false worship. It was the symbol of the way that people worshiped in that culture that was just destroyed. So that's a very brief overview of why the Lord calls this an accursed thing. You know, in and of itself, a garment, silver and gold, or we would say, you know, green dollars, you know, money, in and of itself, those things are not a curse. It's kind of like this. You often hear in the talk that goes back and forth in regard to gun violence. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong or violent about a gun, a rifle, or a pistol. What is violent about that is when somebody takes that and uses that in a way that is sinful or criminal, right? It's not the gun that is the problem. It is the use of that that's the problem. I want to be clear that in terms of this garment that he took and the silver and the gold, you know, those things in and of themselves don't have to be accursed. But when God says, that's a cursed thing, don't take it, it's accursed. Okay, does that make sense? So laying the groundwork there for the accursed thing, Here is the definition of a cursed thing. And this is what struck me. The definition of a cursed thing is a net, either literally or figuratively, a net, like something you would catch fish in or catch an animal in, a doomed object. I like that. That's my favorite definition among these definitions. A doomed object. It means extermination, and it means things which should have been utterly destroyed. It also means appointed to destruction. Now, when you look up this word in the Old Testament, it occurs as the word a net. It occurs as cursed thing, and it occurs as accursed thing, and a few other occurrences that are somewhat interesting if you read them. Devoted is another way that it occurs. So when you look up the different occurrences of this word, it primarily means a net or a cursed thing. And here we have an entire household that was destroyed because of this doomed objects that were brought into his house. So what's on my mind tonight is, if we had a Joshua, or if we had a Moses, or if we had the Lord Jesus Christ himself would come and inspect our houses, would there be accursed things found in our houses? Remember, the thing in and of itself does not necessarily have to be accursed. It's the manner in which we use it, okay? And another reason this is on my mind is the girls and I last night were having a time of devotion and reading the Bible and stuff, and we were talking about idols and things like that. And so we're sitting in the den in there, and I looked up where the mantle is, and I said, "Now, guys, you know, in the old days, they used to have these idols up on the mantle." You know, my finger was pointing directly to the television. And I was like, "But we don't have them anymore." And I was like, "Wait a minute. Do we?" You know? And again, a TV, a television is not necessarily an accursed thing. It depends on how you use it. Now, in the old days, in the Old Testament, on their mantles, on their hearths, on the different places where the other cultures worshipped false gods, they had things that were clearly devoted to their gods, their false gods. They would have images of their false gods. Like, for example, in the Greek days or in the Roman days, you know, they would have, you know, whatever god was the god of that house, you know, Zeus, Apollos, you know, Aphrodite, Diana, all these different goddesses, you know, they would have that, and it would say that's who that was. That's very clear, very clear. You know, that's an accursed thing, because it's not even something that's real. It's a piece of wood, or it's a piece of metal, or it's a piece of gold or silver that's dedicated to something that isn't even real, and they fall down before it, they worship it, or they speak to it like it's alive. You know, the Lord speaks very clearly in the book of Isaiah, especially, all through the Word of God, but especially in Isaiah, he really mocks that, because, you know, that's something you have to carry around. That's a false god. You have to carry that little god around, because it's not real. Our God, you can't carry him around. You know, he is everywhere at all times. So anyway, understand, in the old days, it was very easy to identify a doomed object in a house, an accursed thing. You say, "Oh, that's dedicated to the false god Baal." You know, when he says Babylonian garment, you know, the Babylonians, they were from Babylon, and they worship Baal. They worship the false god. So now, when you think in terms of our culture and today, how do we identify those accursed things? It very well could be what I pointed to on my mantle last night as we were talking about the Word of God and about idols. That television is one thing that could become an accursed thing. It depends on how we use it and what we let come over that thing up on the mantle. So we'll get to that in just a moment, but look with me at a few more occurrences of this phrase, accursed thing. Look at Deuteronomy 7 and verse 26. This is the same phrase. Let's read, that's the last verse of that chapter. "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." Okay, and he's talking about graven images that are dedicated to the false gods. He says you need to burn those graven images, do away with them, do not bring them into your house. Or notice what he says, "lest you become," or "lest thou be a cursed thing like it." So bringing a cursed thing into the home would eventually result in the home, the people in the home, becoming accursed themselves. That's what it would do to them if they did that. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and 26. Listen to the application of that word, accursed thing. He says, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. That word nets right there is the same as accursed thing. And her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. I find it interesting that he applies the accursed thing to, it could be a person. Here's a person who becomes an accursed thing to someone. And in this particular case, he's talking about the strange woman. All right, look at Micah 7 and 2. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Same word for accursed thing. Same word. So you see how the accursed thing is a net. It's a snare. It's something that captures you and you can't get away from it. One more place in the Old Testament, Malachi 4 and verse 6. This is interesting. Last verse of the Old Testament. Now there's 400 year pause from the time that this last verse was recorded. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He's speaking of John the Baptist coming. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And if you notice, he says, if the heart of the fathers don't turn to the children and the heart of the children don't turn to the fathers, there's going to be a curse, a net, an accursed thing upon the land. And I think you would agree, surely you would agree with me that in terms of where the family is today, just in general, you know, it very much seems like we're living under a net, under a curse, just a terrible curse. The land has been cursed because the hearts of the children are not towards their parents and the hearts of the parents don't seem to be towards their children. So we're living in that type of accursed time. Now, those are just occurrences. So I want to talk specifically about accursed things in our houses. It was an accursed thing in the house of Achan that led to the destruction of that house. And usually houses are destroyed because we ignore the warnings of where things are accursed, or we don't intervene or do something about it. Okay, so let's talk about some examples of some accursed things. First of all, I've already mentioned the TV. You know, there's nothing in and of itself nefarious or horrible about a television. It's just a device that brings in digital signals, you know, Wi-Fi signals, used to be cable signals, antenna signals. There's nothing wrong with the television in and of itself. But when it is used and viewed in an improper way, things on it are allowed to come across it, then it becomes accursed. It becomes an accursed thing, and it will curse a house. This is a no-brainer. What about a computer? I did a lot of frightening of my children when they were very young and telling them that Satan himself was on the other side of that screen on that computer, and he'll jump out and get you at any time with any click of a button. And I think they literally thought the screen was going to open up. I'm glad they thought that, because that's a fact. Satan, it says in Ephesians the 6th chapter, that he is the prince of the power of the air. And I would add to that, he is the prince of the power of the airwaves. He has control of the media in general. Satan controls. You say, well, it's all fake news. It's, you know, liberal this, it's that, the other. What? Let me tell you, behind it all is Satan. Satan is in control of the airwaves. All right? He dominates. There might be a few bright spots here or there and a few things that you can, you know, watch and not be ashamed or careful and scared and, you know, afraid something terrible is fixing to pop up in an advertisement or whatever. But Satan has control of the airwaves. And whether it's a television or a computer or the internet or what's coming over an iPhone, an iPad, or anything, Satan has control primarily of those things. Don't kid yourself. From the media to the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood. You know, I think I just sat down and watched something the other night that I thought would be good. You know, I'm always trolling and looking for something that's good because it's so hard to find it. And I thought, well, here's something new and it looks interesting. Got into it just a little ways and there's Satan you know, he's promoting some LGBTQ agenda, or he's promoting something that's horrible, that's anti the Word of God, that's anti the character of God. And I turn it off, you know, that thing becomes accursed whenever something like that comes on. Okay, so those things, whether it's through the phone, the iPad, the television, the computer, they in and of themselves can be useful tools. I'm telling you, the app that I use on my computer for studying the Word of God is incredibly useful. I used to have a stack of books, you know, as high as me that I would access on a regular basis. You have to flip through them and look for this and look that up, and it took so much time. And now those books are on my little iPad here, and I just click on them. And we're living in a time when it's so easy to study the Word of God, and there's so fewer people studying the Word of God. Isn't that just ironic how our sin nature is? We have more access. It's easier to study. We don't have to have a library full of books because we got a little touch button library on our phone, and yet we hardly ever study the Word of God. I'm guilty of that myself. Well, there's a new show on. I'd rather watch a new show that's going to tickle my brain rather than dig into the love letter that God has written to me from eternity. That's just how we are. So this in and of itself is not an accursed thing. But the manner in which I use this thing can determine whether or not it becomes accursed. See? All right, what about this? I'm really doing some meddling tonight. And, you know, I guess you could call me a chicken preacher because I'm doing all this meddling on a Wednesday night when there's not as many people here. Well, Brother Tim, you're just a chicken. Well, dare me and I'll preach this again on Sunday, okay? But anyway, video games. Brother Milam, Brother Jim, other brothers that are in our age bracket, you know, Brother Harold, others, I hope I'm not, Brother Stephen, different ones in our age group. You know, we're the generation of the rise of video games. You know, I can remember Pong. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. It's the dumbest video game you've ever seen in your life. It's for people that don't even have a brain, and it just bounces a ball back and forth. I remember we had one of those things. It was its own device, huge thing. We thought it was amazing. At least I did. So then we moved on to Atari, you know, and that was the most amazing thing. We had these little joysticks and we'd play Space Invaders. And, you know, and of course, a lot of us grew up going to the video game room when they had a video game room. I wish I had all the quarters back that I spent in there. I love the video games. I love to go to the Barrel of Fun in the mall over here, or go to Aladdin's Castle over at McFarland Mall. So we grew up in that generation, and I'm telling you that if I let myself go back into that video game world, I'd never come out. Because what we had then compared to the CGI lifelike stuff that's out there now, it looks like real life. And it's just amazing. It mesmerizes me to see that. And part of me, I want to go into that world, but I do not let myself go into that world because I know me. And I lose myself in that world. And I quit playing video games with the kids. I quit playing Mario Karts with the kids because I felt like throwing one of the controllers at them one time when they beat me. That's how competitive I am. I was like, it's just a dumb cart, you know. and that one of them beat me. It's okay to get beat. I just had to walk away. See how sinful I am? So I don't play video games with the kids because I'm too competitive. Video games can be a curse. They don't have to be, but I'm going to tell you, if you think about the type of video games that are being played out there, I'll pick on one, which I've known for years, Grand Theft Auto, where you get extra points for killing police officers in it, you know, and they teach you how to shoot them in the side and in the head so you don't hit the vest. I mean, come on, you get extra points for that. That is an accursed thing. You know, you could have a video game that is an accursed thing that should never even be used or bought. But then there's Mario Kart. As long as you don't throw your controller at your kids, that might be fun to play, you know? I did not throw the controller at the kids, y'all. I just thought about it. So I got a video game story. I'll tell you at the end here in just a moment, but from when I was a kid. But let's move on from video games because y'all are getting quieter and quieter. And I'm thinking more and more. I probably do need to preach this on Sunday morning. But anyway, clothes can become accursed things. You say, wait a minute. What happened to Achan? It was clothing. It was a garment that was part of what cursed his house. You say, how in the world today? Well, first of all, it's very easy to say, well, what do you have written on your clothes? You know, I walk and I see some people come to court, they walk in with cursed things on their garment. You know, and sometimes I've seen the judge say, take that off, cover that up. I've even seen the judge make them turn a shirt inside out because it's got maybe filthy language, inappropriate language, or I support this or I support that. You know, that, you know, what you put on that garment can become an accursed thing, see? You know, maybe it's some music group or maybe, you know, I'm not going to pick on any particular type of music group because it could all be bad. But that can become an accursed thing, what you support on the garment that you wear. Now, also, I'm not picking on the ladies. I'm fixing to pick on the men, though. But you could have so many clothes. I can't even look at some of you. You could have so many clothes, and you could have so many shoes until that becomes an accursed thing. That's all you think about. Got to have another pair of shoes. Got to have another pair of shoes. Now, listen. I got a bunch of shoes. You know, I got a work shoes. I've got tennis shoes I run in that look horrible because I run in them. And then I got tennis shoes that I wear that look nice that Tracy's not embarrassed about me walking around in. I've got these shoes. You know, I've got dress shoes, you know, dress to the nine shoes. I got a bunch of shoes. And a part of me is ashamed of that. I got a pair of boots. You understand, that in and of itself is not a sin. Having a bunch of shoes. But if that's your passion and that's all you can think about, and you say, I can't give to the church this month because I got to buy another pair of shoes. That's an accursed thing. Am I being clear enough? I'm speaking to me too. I hope y'all understand that. Okay, let's pick on the guys. You know, guns, you know, hunting rifles, things that you hunt with, those can become accursed things. If that's all of that's we as guys do, all I want to do is hunt. I got to hunt on Sunday. I got to hunt on, you know, whatever. If that becomes my passion, it's become an accursed thing. But a gun in and of itself, you know, I got a couple of my dad's guns that I'm really proud of. I love them. You know, I remember dad shooting them and I keep them. But, you know, if all I ever did was go out every day and shoot that gun, and missed church and neglected visiting people and didn't study the Word of God because I'm too busy shooting a gun or I'm hunting, becomes an accursed thing. You see? Activities can become an accursed thing. People can become an accursed thing. The type of people that you bring into your house, if they're like the one that Solomon described, whose heart is snares and nets, it's going to bring certain destruction upon that house. See? So basically, anything can become an accursed thing, right? I think I've given y'all this example before, but there was somebody I met years ago who got to where they could not come to church on Sunday because they were too busy visiting people in the nursing home. Now, visiting people in the nursing home is a great thing. I'm not here to put that down, but at 10:30 or, you know, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, that's not the time to do it. See? So even something good can become accursed to you. And it's upon us to analyze that. I've offered for years, if you want me to come over and get a checklist and take stock, if I see any accursed things, I'll be happy to, but nobody's ever taken me up on that. Please don't come over to my house and do that. I'm afraid of what you might say. So anything can become an accursed thing. So I got a video game story. So when I was, 7 or 8 years old, 9 or 10 years old, and cousin Norman was visiting, and he was always fun. He was one of our fun cousins, and we loved playing with Norman. And it was Chris and me and Norman, and even though I was a little shrimp, you know, they still let me tag along. So Norman, who was very, to us, he was like a genius. And so on this particular day, Norman said, hey, why don't we take your Atari from your house and go hook it up at Grandmother McCool's house. You know, he was smart and he could figure out how to plug it into her big TV because we had to stay with Grandmother McCool. Our folks were gone. And we thought, that's the best idea we've ever thought about that. It's amazing. We can transport this video game. You know, before these things came along, right? Video game players. So we took the Atari over to Grandmother McCool's house, and he plugged it in, and it worked. And we were like, this is incredible. And we had all our games. And we had to play all of our games again because it was somebody else's TV, right? You want to see what it looked like on that TV? Y'all know y'all are like this too. So we begin to play. We begin to play the accursed thing at her house. We didn't ask her permission either, by the way. And in the back of our minds, in between the beep beeps and the bloop bloop and the bloop bloop and all this stuff that was going on coming across the TV, we could hear a faint sound coming through the window. But we're like, I don't even know what that is. Just keep playing. Beep beep, bloop bloop, bloop bloop, you know. And then the sound kept getting louder and louder. And then somebody looked out the window and saw that Grandmother McCool was in the yard trying to round up a bull by herself. And she was screaming, help! And we're in there going, beep, 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 beep. There's only one time that I've ever seen my Grandmother McCool mad and curse. She's in heaven. She knows she did. And I think she was justified in this moment. She came to the door, red-faced, and she was a little lady. Some of y'all maybe seen a picture of her. And so she came to the door and yanked the door open, and she said one choice word to us, and she said, I'm going to throw that cursed thing away. And that stuck with me because we took something that probably wasn't necessarily cursed, but we caused it to be cursed because that's all we were focusing on, while our poor old grandmother was out there in the yard trying to wrangle a huge Holstein bull. And you know what we did? We cast down our joysticks and we got up and we hightailed it outside and did whatever she said for the rest of the day. Took the Atari back to my house. See, it became an accursed thing. Y'all see that? I've never forgotten that as long as I lived. I never, ever in my life ever wanted to see Grandmother McCool mad like that again. Because that wasn't her nature, you know. But you put her in a yard with a bull, all of a sudden you don't come help. She's going to be very angry. So she pronounced curses upon our cursed thing, you see? And let me tell you, that's what happens with your accursed thing. It will bring curses to your life. Your television, what's the list? Your television, your computer, your iPhone, your iPad, your anything, your video games, your clothes, your shoes, your guns, your activities, the people that you hang out with, all of those things will pronounce curses upon your life, upon my life, if they're not used in the proper way. So I hope in these few minutes here tonight that we can see maybe a little bit about what an accursed thing is. And maybe you'll do like me, like I did last night, and look up on the mantle and say, hey, wait a minute. This may be an idol. How much time am I spending with this thing up on the mantle? How much time am I spending hunting? How much time am I spending, you know, collecting more shoes and clothes? How much time am I spending on the video game? Take stock of your time, and you will find out, if you're honest, you'll find out if you've got an accursed thing. It has to do with the things that you spend your time on. You see that? And if you find that you are, you know what you do? You get rid of it. That's Acts the 19th chapter. That's where I'll leave you tonight. Acts the 19th chapter. That's what they did. In Acts the 19th chapter, a great revival came to the city of Ephesus. This is where we get the book of Ephesians from. And in Acts the 19th chapter, in verse 18, it says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Will we come and confess and show our deeds? You know, this is not, you know, like a priest thing where you come and confess to the priest. You confess it to God. You don't have to confess it to me. But they came and they confessed and they showed their deeds. And watch this, verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought, that's witchcraft by the way, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It was millions of dollars worth of cursed things. Now look, I'm not saying, well, rip your TV down off of the mantle and get out 95% of your clothes and throw them in the yard. And, you know, this isn't like a Nazi-like book burning thing, okay? That's not what this is. They evaluated what was accursed in their house and they got rid of it. And they didn't just put it in a yard sale. Is that a little too close to home? They didn't just put it in a yard sale so somebody else would be cursed by it. No, they said, this right here was bad. It was not beneficial for anyone. And so you know what they did? They just burned it to the tune of about several million dollars worth when they put it all together. Now, it may not look like that for you, It may be just cutting back your screen time. It may be cutting back the time you spend doing this activity or that activity. And you say, well, what am I going to do? I'm just going to be twiddling my thumbs. Not if you listen to me, you won't. You won't be twiddling your thumbs. You'll use some or all of that time, a portion of that time, and give it to God. Give it to the Word of God. And you won't be experiencing curses using an accursed thing anymore. It's very simple. Acts 19 is a great model for that. So I hope that's been profitable, and I hope it's been helpful. I know when I studied it, it's helpful to me. It makes me want to go home and get a checklist and evaluate. Make sure the things in my house are not becoming accursed things. I hope that makes sense. I hope that's been profitable.